This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan, and thanks so much for making the show part of your day. Wherever you're at, we know you got options. Means a lot that you're riding with us, sticking with us during the pandemic and the weird times as the show keeps chugging along with our home broadcasts. I am in Virginia. Danny is in D.C. trying to get you up to date on everything going on in sports and keep you entertained. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Albert Breer of MMQB NSI joins us. Wanted to get the latest on the NFL. Albert, why didn't the owners want the onside kick, which nobody can actually pull off anymore anyway, to be replaced by the 4th and 15 rule?
You know, the best explanation I can give you is that it's a pretty radical change to something that's been a part of the game for a long time, and this is a weird off season, and it's made these meetings a little different than they've been in the past. And what I mean by that is that normally, these are the sorts of things that would be talked about at their annual meeting. And at the annual meeting, coaches are there, general managers are there. You have a ton of football people in the room. Those guys haven't been on these calls. And so, you know, I think with anything that was going to be just this sea change from a football standpoint, it was going to be difficult to get anything significant pushed through. And so, you know, I think just the where we are in this country, the impact it's had on the way these meetings are conducted, just made it so, like, anything that was going to be done from a football standpoint, the league was probably going to slow play, which I think you saw with the Sky Judge proposal, too.
Is there any fear that this season will end up like baseball, where they're fighting over some things and people can't kind of come together? Albert, it's that many more players, you know, kind of against the owners here. Does everybody seem to be harmonious at this point?
I don't know that they're harmonious. I think it's more just the structure of the sport. You have a salary cap. Baseball doesn't have one. You don't have guaranteed contracts. Baseball does.
Darryl, let's throw Albert on hold because his phone's breaking up pretty bad. Let's see if we can get him a little bit more clearly, because it's good information, and he's always great on the show, but I want to make sure everyone can hear what he's saying. And he's trying to describe, you know, after he talked to a bunch of people around the league, how some things passed and others didn't. We'll be back with him in just a second. Danny, go ahead, though. I want you to answer the question you asked him, kind of give your thoughts on that.
Well, as you kind of start to analyze this thing, right now, again, the NFL calendar hasn't missed a beat. Right? They've sort of pushed through the draft, and nobody's, you know, they're missing OTAs and a couple different things, but people are starting to be able to slowly get back to work. So the trend is heading in one direction. And you start to worry then if you get closer to where Major League Baseball is, where they're already missing games. You wonder if, you know, certain things happen, certain deals with outbreaks and otherwise start to occur, and the players go, wait a minute, not so fast. Right? Because if there's jeopardy of missing things, then I wonder how the players would sort of react to that. There's already so much risk associated with the sport. You add in more, I wonder if the players might balk a little bit.
All right, let's tag Albert back in. He's back with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. So, Albert, you can pick up where you left off, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's been a sports structure is different than baseball. And so no guaranteed contracts. You have those in baseball. No salary cap in baseball. You have one in football. And I think the other piece of this that's important is that I think football is likely to play their full schedule. So, you know, that makes it different as well. I think where the sort of river to meet the road was any conflict financially and where this is all going to go, you know, really is twofold. Number one, I think it's not going to affect 2020 as much as it could affect things going forward. And what I mean by that is if there's a big hit as far as revenue goes, that's obviously going to affect the 2021 cap. So if the formula spits out a lower number, what do? Well, if it spits out a lower number, that's not good for anybody because teams then are going to have to start to cut players. You're not going to be able to sign guys long-term, and obviously a lot of players are going to lose their jobs. And so I think what they would likely do, they would probably negotiate where you'd be borrowing from future years. And so that would mean the cap would be affected not just in 21, it would also be affected in 22, 23, and on down the line. And so that makes it longer. That makes it harder for teams to plan long-term. That makes it harder for teams to do long-term deals with players. And if you're like a Joey Bosa or a Jalen Ramsey or a you know, Marlon Humphrey or Ronnie Stanley or one of these guys that's in line to become the highest paid player at your position, that's going to affect your negotiation. So I think that's one piece of it. And then I think the other piece of it is that there could be some teams that, you know, see their cash flow affected and get to September, and there's just the natural reality that the owner is telling them to cut costs. And so maybe you see some expensive veterans getting cut in August because, and they'll never admit this is the reason why, right? But maybe you see some expensive veterans getting cut in August because there's an edict from on high that they have to cut costs because the cash flow was an issue.
Albert Breer on Grant and Danny. Look, I'll admit my bias coming into this question, which is I've thought Joe Flacco stunk at quarterback for many, many years. Is the Cam Newton still being available thing because teams just don't think he's healthy? Because Flacco supposedly isn't even going to be ready for camp, and he just got a job as a backup. You know, if I'm looking for a backup, I want an athlete who can come off the bench and make some plays and maybe, you know, give me something different than my starter as a change of pace. How are teams signing Flacco who's not healthy and Cam's just sitting there?
Well, let's look at the context in which these guys are coming in. Okay, so Andy Dalton goes on the cheap to Dallas. Goes on the cheap to Dallas as a backup. Jameis Winston goes on the cheap to New Orleans. He's not even assured of being second string. Joe Flacco goes to the Jets. Well, there's a natural connection there. Joe Douglas, their general manager, was the area scout who evaluated him at Delaware for the Ravens. So, you know, in each one of those cases, there are low money signings where guys are coming in as clear backups, and like really, you know, I think the question becomes, and I wish we had better clarity on this, but we don't. What opportunity has Cam had? Has Cam had the opportunity to go somewhere on a really cheap deal as a backup, where you know there's no chance of competing to be a starter? I don't know, guys. Like, I continue to hear from people like who know him who say he would probably rather wait for an opportunity to pop up in July and August than go somewhere where he knows he's not going to play. And so I think that sort of puts him in the position that Jay Cutler was in 3 years ago. And you guys remember Jay Cutler, quote unquote, retired. Well, he sat out there in the market for 2 months before he decided to sign with Fox and retire from football. Then Ryan Tannehill got hurt during camp. And there's Cutler signing with the Dolphins and going back to play one more year. The fact is that Jay didn't have a ton of champions across the league for him. And there were a lot of teams that looked at him and saw, well, he's kind of a weird fit as just a pure backup. So, you know, we're okay with that. And Jay wasn't really interested in going anywhere as a backup. But then the right opportunity popped up, and there he was. And so, to me, with Cam, it's really just about the right opportunity popping up. It's about teams looking at him and saying, can we envision him as just a backup and that's it? You know, and I do think that there probably is part of him that's sitting there and saying, I would rather wait until July or August, when either there's an injury or some team looks at his quarterback situation and says to themselves, this isn't quite what we thought it would be, and decides, you know, that they need to supplement at the position. So,
I just think it's complicated, and I think too many people look at it, and too many people look at the quarterback position in general and trying to rank like the top 64 quarterbacks and wonder why people don't have jobs. Things are way more complicated at that position than they are anywhere else in the field.
Albert, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Hope you're staying safe.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you, man.
You got it. Be well. There's Albert Breer on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Dwayne Haskins was training with some of the best wide receivers in the NFL over the last 20 years, and he's taking a little flack for that. I mean, does he just get heat for everything? We'll discuss next on The Fan. I was surprised to see some Redskins fans upset to see Dwayne Haskins training with Antonio Brown. Now, I will tell you, Danny, I don't think they were as much, mad that Haskins was doing it as they were concerned maybe that you're hanging out with a bad influence, and it's no different when people say surround yourself with, good people, or the five people around you are kind of an endorsement or indictment on yourself. You are your friend, so to speak. They're saying this guy's a knucklehead. He's been a maniac who has driven teams crazy for the last several years, whether it was Pittsburgh or New England or the Raiders or whoever else he was employed by. Stay away from guys like that. But it feels sometimes like Dwayne Haskins, just no matter what he does, it's going to be an issue. He's training with a couple of the best receivers ever. I mean, in Antonio Brown. Now, Stephon Diggs is good now. I wouldn't put him on that level. But Ocho Cinco was a Hall of Fame type talent. And people are going, oh, no, not those guys. Stay away from them. So you're worried that he's not going to be able to improve because the Redskins wide receivers aren't any good. So instead of throwing to Cody Latimer and Antonio Gandy-Golden, he's now throwing to Antonio Brown, Chad Ochocinco, and Stephon Diggs, and that's a problem too. I was surprised to see people's concerns. Like, what do they think? Do they think he's calling Ron Rivera right now, demanding some ultimatum? Like, I'm not showing up unless it's a package deal with Antonio Brown? They probably were just near each other and said, hey, I can throw the deep ball. Do you want to track it down for me? And they went and threw the football.
In general, what you're saying is right, but I understand when you see Antonio Brown anywhere near your young, impressionable player, you got to go, I wish it was anybody else. And I do, by the way. I'd rather have him throw to Terrell Owens. I'd rather have him throw to almost anybody on earth right now than any conversation with Antonio Brown. But I think in general, your point's well seen. I mean, obviously, we're all sort of doing the best we can, and he's getting work in, and that's good, ostensibly, right? Especially when it comes to a couple of those other guys. But right now, Brown is so nuclear, sort of white hot, when it comes to, you don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole just because of the level of crazitude that has gone on here recently. So I get the initial sort
was
of pullback and reaction. But and that's really the point, is that no, of course it's not. Dwayne Haskins is still a capable young man.
Yeah, I'd go this far. I would say if I found out that Dwayne Haskins was like spending the pandemic with Antonio Brown and those guys were like roommates and best buddies and they're eating out at restaurants, sitting outside socially distanced in Florida, and like this is his guy, that would worry me a little bit, I will admit. Because you know how I feel about Antonio Brown. I think he is an all-time malcontent, silly goose, the likes of which no team should ever employ again. So if I found out that Dwayne Haskins considers him a mentor, if he's sitting there in his next interview saying, yeah, I spent the offseason learning tricks to the trade from Antonio Brown, and he's really educated me on how to be a professional. Okay, now you have my attention. Now I'm willing to be concerned. My guess is, and maybe I'm misreading this, they go to the same gym. And I'm using gym as a term here as if to say, like, I go to the same gym as someone else. Doesn't mean we share opinions on how to go about our business. I think they happen to work out on a football field together that time. That's kind of how I'm taking this. That's it. That's all I'm thinking. Now, if I find out that he called Rivera and said he wants Antonio Brown, I will give you 30 minutes of radio on why that's blood boiling, and I will be apoplectic if the Redskins bring in Antonio Brown. I'm just not counting on that happening.
Right. And so we'll react accordingly if that's the case. I understand, I guess, all the perspectives here, because what you're saying objectively, I think, is right. Any right-headed person can clearly see that throwing passes to a guy on a high school football field in somewhere in Florida is not the same as counting Antonio Brown as a mentor, right? But I also understand that as soon as you hear Antonio Brown and your quarterback that's in a pretty unique spot, and there's a lot riding on his shoulders, no pressure, Dwayne Haskins, but go ahead and whenever you feel ready, justify that 15th overall pick and the trust of a lot of fans in you and, you know, perform with maybe the less than ideal circumstances. When you see that name associated with your guy, you kind of quiver a little bit. You go, oh, my God, I hope it's something else. I understand the perspective there. But again, people, I think if you, after initial reaction, what you're saying, I think, is objectively correct, right? Nothing bad has happened yet. I think people are reacting, though, when they see Antonio Brown are going, maybe throw to someone else. Maybe just anybody else. What if just like a pudgy the high school kid was running around catching passes from me? Would that be so bad?
Yeah, probably. Because here's, I guess, my point and why I don't know that I'm making a deal about this, but supposedly Haskins is his development is being hindered because he can't work with really good talent. So he's now choosing to do that. So I think if you're saying he can't get better because of Cody Latimer and Antonio Gandy-Golden and Cam Sims being the guy that he trains with all the time, then doesn't that also mean he will get better when he trains with Antonio Brown and Chad Ochocinco and Stephon Diggs? Like, if I'm a quarterback in the NFL, the first thing I'd want to do is work out with my coaches and my team. Obviously, I can't do that right now. The second thing I would try to do is pull a Tom Brady, and I would get my guys to Florida right now if they're willing to come. I would say, hey, Terry, Cam, whoever wants to come down here, I'm throwing in Florida. Let's do this. But if I can't do that, then I'm finding out who are the best, most accomplished wide receivers on the planet, the closest to me geographically, who I can train with. Because I don't know. I mean, you tell me. Do you think that this could help him get better as a quarterback? I have to imagine that it could. Little
sure.
things that they might tell you that you pick up about how they run a route or, you know, how they do something. He might learn that and now go back on the first day of training camp to Gandy-Golden and say, dude, I was training with AB in May, and he told me on this bench route, he kind of cuts it off here. He sets a guy up with this footwork. I mean, those little nuanced things. My point is there are people who are worried that he's not going to be able to improve because he doesn't have any talent around him, who are the same people who are worried that he's working out with Antonio Brown. So what is he supposed to do? Just find an exact wide receiver right in the middle who you're okay with him training with?
No.
That's kind of my I'm having a little fun with it, but you get what I'm saying.
Sure, and I don't think anybody's going, oh, my God, Stephon Diggs. But, I do see your point. We're all doing the best we can, and that's what I want Dwayne Haskins. And if I was a fan of another team, I'd want my quarterback to be doing right now this minute, right? But I think the other side is, you know, I bet he's going to come to practice and wonder, well, when Stephon Diggs did this, he was right there at this time. Why is Kelvin Harmon 5 steps behind that spot and the defender's draped all over his buttocks? So it's not an exact one-to-one thing, but we're all doing the best we can, and I want Dwayne Haskins to do that. I guess, again, to say, what do you want him to do? Not throw to Antonio Brown, I think a lot of the fans would say. And everybody else on that field, to me, is totally fine. I don't care about Ochocinco's antics or his gold jacket or the other kind of stuff, doing river dances after receptions and things. That has never bothered me. But Antonio Brown, again, is kind of a nuclear figure at this point, I would say. But, again, I think your point's well seen. I don't disagree with any of it.
Let's just hope that there's no phone call to the coaching staff saying that Antonio Brown wants to be a Redskin. And then this was all just an exercise to get better at football.
Yeah.
He and Stephon Diggs, I don't know if it's just the fact that they're Maryland guys or what, but they do seem to have a connection. I mean, Haskins was trying to put Diggs over as a Redskin on social media. Remember, he kept posting on Instagram like pictures of Diggs in a Redskins jersey and fans and blogs that report on the Redskins and you know, get a lot of stuff wrong. We're like, I hear there's a trade coming. I mean, that was supposed to happen. It didn't, obviously, but now that they're training together. But the more great wide receivers he wants to throw to, as far as I'm concerned, the better. Just don't take your life advice from Antonio Brown, is all I would tell Dwayne Haskins. JP Flame from the Junks for checking in. We have checked in with Cakes, Bish Bucks, Chad this week. JP is next right here on G&D. Every day this week on Grant and Danny, we have checked in with another one of our colleagues who we don't get to see at the office anymore to see how things are going for them amid this pandemic. Chad got this started on Tuesday. We talked to Cakes on Wednesday. The very elusive Jason Bishop was on the show yesterday. And now JP Flame of the Sports Junkies joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. First of all, JP, you've already done your work for today, so thanks for taking time out of your schedule to hop back on the air with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. I was excited to jump in on your Chewbacca talk.
There was a lot of Chewbacca talk today.
At Chewbacca talk.
Are you a Star Wars guy?
Not really. I mean, I've watched the original trilogy, and I've watched a few of the other movies. And since it's been years, I didn't necessarily agree with your stance on Darth Vader, Grant. But your Chewbacca stance did make a lot of sense. What's the point of Chewbacca? He seems to just be a buddy.
Definitely a buddy cop. That's all, and a bad one. Like, he gets them in more trouble than he gets them out of. It's almost like a shticky, fun character. Like, oh man, we're in a bad predicament again because of me. But at least he can't talk and he just makes noises the whole time.
Yeah, I would say I'm mostly in Danny's camp when it comes to overall Star Wars, but I thought you made some good points there, Grant. I think you score a few points.
And what you've just done, JP, is validated his entire stance. He ignores the point, right. The larger point, and it's like when he finds someone else that has a strange food proclivity just like him, and he feels that this is now a normal thing, and it's exasperating, and I can't believe you just did that. You've undermined years of work. I'm only being kind of serious. but ultimately, though, you sort of understand the perspective that I have, though, just in general, that if you're a little bit older and there was some mystery, nothing else like this had come before it, and you understand the impact that it has, you don't have to be a Star Wars nerd like me to appreciate its general impact, right?
I agree with you. Look, I mean, I grew up with the movies. I like them a lot. I haven't really watched, you know, episodes 8 and 9 or whatever the heck is going on. I'm not as ignorant as EB or Jason when it comes to Star Wars, but I'm also not that well-versed. But I liked them at the time.
JP Flame is with us on Grant and Danny for checking in, which we do each and every day with another member of the crew from 106.7 The Fan. So today we kind of strategically wanted to get you on because there could be some news coming out of the NBA. Looks like they're trying to come back and they're going to play, and it might all be done at Disney where they'll allow perhaps for the wives and the kids of the families to be on site with players as well. Do you think that's going to work? It seems really creative. I give them credit for the idea, if nothing else.
I think it's going to work, and I'm excited for it. You know, I'm an NBA mark. I love watching the NBA playoffs. Give me some product, and it's not going to bother me that there are no fans. A few weeks ago, I watched the UFC pay-per-view, and I know a lot of people aren't into UFC, but I was into it. There were a couple of big title fights, and I didn't notice at all that there were no fans, really, because I was into those matches. So I think when it comes down to it, if you're watching Lakers Clippers, you're going to want to see if LeBron's going to be able to take the Lakers to the NBA championship again, and it's not going to matter at all that there are no fans. In fact, it might be kind of cool that you can hear these guys calling out signals during the game.
What do you make of, I guess, I'm kind of with you on that. It's going to be weird, but I think I'll get over it fairly quickly and it'll just kind of become the new normal. What do you make about, though, we talked about this at the top of the show, different states and different places are going to have different rules, right? So there's going to be an unfair advantage where you'd have, like, maybe people could, you know, 50,000 people could be at a stadium in Dallas, but zero people at Giant Stadium, right? Or MetLife, whatever the hell they call the different thing. What's your take there, just how different this thing has been throughout the country?
It's going to be weird. But again, I'm kind of coming from it from the fan's perspective, a consumer perspective. I don't care if it's not totally fair. Like, it might be an advantage for East Coast teams if everything's being played in Orlando. But is it really that much of an advantage? I mean, you guys growing up playing hoops, at the end of the day, it's five guys taking on five other guys. Who's the best five?
JP, did we lose you?
I'm here.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. That was butt weird. All right, so John Paul,
I can tell you this. Yeah, I thought checking in wasn't even going to be about sports. I thought you were just checking in with what we're doing in our lives. And I can tell you, I've been on an hour and a half walk, played tennis with a 3-year-old, and then we were running some errands, and I had my wife drop me off at a random park so I could talk to you guys. So,
well, that's where I was going.
The best sell spot.
Well, that's no, it's all good. That's where I was going to go next. Is what's been, like, upsetting, what's been annoying, and what's been actually good about this entire situation that we're all in?
I mean, I think what's good is we probably all have this. You do get to spend a little more time, quality time, with the family. I've got older kids. Let me tell you about older kids. They love their phones. Less interaction, right? So they're on their phones all the time. So now you can go for walks and spend kind of that quality time. The negative is I usually coach my kid in flag football. I know, Danny, you coach your kids in sports. You miss out on those type of things. And then for me, I have a three-year-old. Danny, you can relate to this. Grant, you haven't quite gotten to this point. For a three-year-old who had a bunch of activities, she did ballet, she did soccer, she did swimming. All of a sudden, it's how do you occupy her? Somehow, in this quarantine where I'm working from home, I have far less time, free time, than I had before. Partly because the wife used to go to work, or she would take the kid out for a play date, or, you know, there were other activities. So all of a sudden, GP had free time. Now that is gone.
It's over. And I don't know when it's going to get to a point where it's normal again. You just heard a moment there. We've had few and far between. I'll say we're lucky our producers, our engineers have worked hard to make sure it hadn't happened. We've got the occasional technical snafu where something happens doing these shows from home. How about you guys? How is the show compared, do you think, to like pre-pandemic? And how hard is it going to be to drag some of the junks back into the studio at this point?
Man, I don't know if you're going to get Jason out of his spot. You know that.
That's what I'm
stunned that you were able to get Jason on checking in yesterday. That is pretty impressive. That's a coup. Because I can tell you this, we do, so, you know, we've all been working the weekends. Jason and I have done the 9 till noon shift on Saturdays for a couple of months now. I think he starts texting me on Tuesday about booking guests. It's incredible. All he wants to do is fill
the time.
Why is
he so invested in the guests? He booked.
It's unbelievable.
What is he doing?
It's unbelievable. I already had 3 booked. I booked 3 guests. Tomorrow we have Chris Russell on at 9:20. Jamion Christian, who's the head coach at GW, basketball coach.
Nice.
And the locker is going to be on at 11:20. And he was like, we need to get one more. What? So I'm pretty much gone through all my contacts. Yeah, he just wants to fill the time. So anyway, he lives in Ashburn. The fact that he's able to do the show remotely, it's going to be very difficult, I think, to get him back in to the studios in D.C. It probably depends on each of the guys. I know for me, look, the show's better when you're in person. You guys know that. You figure out a way to do it. We Zoom it up. It's on NBC Sports Washington. Occasionally your internet connection gets shot, and you might get off camera for a while, but you get through the show.
JP, what percentage, how many shows have you guys done? 4 or 5 where it's been you and Jason on the weekend?
Oh, I think about 8 or 9.
Oh, 8 or 9, okay. What percentage?
Danny, where we've all kind of had 3 partners, I think they've been together for every show. Like, I've been with you and with Pete and with EB. I'm pretty sure they've been lockstep together from day one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how many
we've done.
We've
done every show together, except for, right, except for one where somehow Jason, I guess, guilted CK into giving us a Saturday off the day after he had his colonoscopy.
Oh, sure.
But I think he ended up playing golf. So who knows what was going on?
Who knows? So what percentage of the guests has Jason booked for that show?
Probably 60%.
Oh, okay. So what made it sound like it was just you doing it, and he was like, hey, do more.
Well, I think the last couple of weeks, that's the way it's worked out, because I haven't been so gung-ho on getting the guests. So I think he's worked through his contact list, and now he's telling me to go out and reach out to the guys who are on my phone.
So are you you're ready to go back into the studio? Like EB, who's ready to go to a Nats game tomorrow, it sounds like has no plans on going back into the studio anytime soon. Where are you at on returning?
I'm cool with coming back. But I mean, I don't want to be the only guy coming back, because then all of a sudden it's really no different. I'm just in a studio.
Right, if all 4 of you aren't there,
from the other 3 junkies.
Yeah, you might as well just be at your house anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, there are benefits. Look, I have the challenge, and you guys probably have this to some extent during your shift. Isabella, my 3-year-old, she comes down sometimes in the middle of the show. I don't have a door to our basement, which is where I'm connected. It's not even really a basement. It's my wife's studio/office. She has a ballet bar there and mirror, and she used to have some clients come over there. So that's where I'm set up. And there's no door from the upstairs to stop Isabella from running downstairs. So my wife's done a pretty good job for a couple of months keeping Isabella quiet, but on occasion you will hear some crying and some drama going on during the show.
Well, I can always hear it upstairs, JP, but thank goodness there is enough doors that my kids can't wander down here. But I hear there was a glass that broke during our 11 o'clock segment this morning, and then I heard screaming and crying. So I'm going, let's play injury or discipline. You know what I mean? It's just a complete
right.
Gong show I don't care who's in charge. Schools need to come back this fall. That needs to be the priority right. number 1, 2 through 7,000 for all the people who are in charge and smart. That's what I say.
And you've got the double challenge because yours are what, 3 and 5, something like that?
2 and 6, yeah. I mean, like the Redskins.
2 and 6. I mean, right. I'm sure they're going to be well-behaved at all times and understand that daddy's doing his job.
Oh, it's a
That's
show.
About as bad an age group as, like, that window to have multiple kids to be doing the home shows for multiple months. It doesn't get a lot more difficult than that. Hey, JP, thanks for checking in. Yeah, what do you got?
The other thing is, what I was going to say is my 3-year-old, she likes the attention dollars. So she sometimes comes down and she will use the ballet bar and get upside down because she knows that that's going to find its way on TV. And she likes looking at the laptop since we're on Zoom to see if she's on.
JP, we've been checking in with a different member of the staff every day. Who knows? If this keeps going, maybe we'll do it again soon. We've been missing the chance to interact with you guys in the studio. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right, boys. Keep it up.
We'll see you.
Be well. There's JP Flame on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's get to the leftovers and the best of the rest, as well as this date in Nats history to wind down the week next.
No, the Danny sent you.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Stretch run. We got to pick a movie to watch this weekend. We'll do that in just a couple of moments. One thing we do every day at this time, though, is we take a trip back down memory lane on this date in Nats history. We're only going back 4 years ago to May 29th, 2016 today for a Jason Wirth grand slam in the seventh inning. He was pinch hitting for relief pitcher Felipe Rivero. There's a name for you. Formerly wow. Felipe Vasquez, when he connected on this grand slam on this date in Nats history.
Here's the 1-0. Swinging a high drive, deep center field. Going back, Hazelbaker. It's going, going, and it's a pinch hit. Grand slam, knockout punch for Jason Wirth. That one off the back wall and straightaway center. Home run number 7 is a pinch hit grand slam. Nationals 8, Cardinals 2. Sixth career grand slam for Jason Wirth.
I wish I could. Just going to say, GP, I wish I could inspire the kind of devotion that Jason Wirth did. Just in so many Nats fans, they still resent any information pointed out about Jason Wirth's defensive inefficiencies, the, you know, 4 of the 5 seasons, you know, whatever it was, like 4 of the 7 seasons that he hit 230 or less for the team, and one was a 244 year that didn't get included in that. Man, oh, man. But, yeah, people loved him. Had a big beard, though.
If you have a big beard and you have long hair, clap your hands. I mean, people are all in. And Bryce Harper is, like, slowly trying to become Jason Wirth, it seems like. He's got the huge hair down to his shoulders and the big beard. I obviously admired him. I think Wirth was in his wedding, if memory serves, but they were really close when Harper was here. All right, what will we end up watching this weekend? That is the question. Dar, did you put a list together for us?
I did, yes. It's going to be a very Disney Plus heavy list.
All right, Movie Club. We're
here
going
we go.
Disney Plus. Who starts the show?
So just a disclaimer, I forgot which Marvel movies you guys all watched that day we all picked our own. So there might be some overlap there.
Okay.
Just ignore it. Let's start with Danny.
Here we go.
Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Captain America Civil War.
No.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Guardians 2.
No.
Avengers.
Yeah.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
You know what? It's a little controversial. I'm going to say yeah. I've been due for a rewatch on that one.
The original Thor.
No.
The original Iron Man.
Yes.
Doctor Strange.
No, because I just watched that.
Okay. Ant-Man.
Yes.
This is veering away from Marvel. Aladdin.
No.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
No.
Okay. Let's go to Grant.
All right, we got 1.5 minutes left in show, so I'm going to have to bang a bunch of these off the list. Here we go.
Avengers Endgame.
No.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
No.
Avengers.
Yes.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
No.
Iron Man.
No.
Ant-Man.
Yes.
Bami, Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Avengers.
No.
Ant-Man.
No.
We were watching Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok.
All right, that's a good movie, actually.
There we go. Good job, guys.
I like
guys.
Thor Ragnarok. We're going Disney, we're going Avengers. You can't, you know, if someone did this correctly, they would have watched every single Marvel movie during this pandemic. Like, while we're all binging all these TV shows that we're giving 6 out of 10s, someone could have gone through in the order that you're supposed to, Danny, and watched every single Marvel movie from start to finish by now over these last couple of months, I'd imagine.
Would you do chronological or would you do just order of release?
I think I would do the order that they tell you kind of sets everything up chronologically, not how they came out.
Gotcha. So the
first
one.
There's a way to find that, I'm sure.
Yeah, there definitely is. So the first one's either Guardians because it starts when Quill was a kid, or it's Captain Marvel because it took place in the 90s with pagers. It's interesting.
Yeah, that might not be. If we find out this is going to be another 6 or so weeks at home, maybe that's fine. Grant and Danny saying so long. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.